Welcome to Clarity Quote to Cash podcast. I'm Karina, your host today. My guest is Robert Tucker. He has over 25 years of experience in business process management. Robert firmly believes that processes are at the center of everything we do. There are some blog posts on the internet right now, and futuristic so far thoughts that in the next 5-10 years, everyone will manage their own digital twin. That our digital twins can get the job done while we are on vacation. I personally see the benefits of having a personal digital twin for healthcare purposes. Like, we have phones and smartwatches that collect our data and provide information. If we apply some ML models, we can get personalized predictions and recommendations for our healthcare. But today, we'll discuss a topic which fascinates me a lot professionally as a consultant. I think we give a lot of values to our audience as well. We will discuss process digital twins and process mining. Robert, happy to have you here on the show. I'm looking forward to start our conversation, but before, I'll let you to introduce yourself.
Well, I am happy to be here. Thank you for having me. And you did such a great job of introducing me. I don't know what I could really add to that, but as you mentioned, my name is Robert Thacker. I am a senior principal consultant with SAP Signavio. And currently, as you mentioned, I've been working in process management for the better part of 25 years, helping companies to capture, optimize, and transform their business processes so that they can improve efficiency, lower cost, and ultimately, obviously, improve customer satisfaction. And to that end, that's exactly what I do now with SAP Signavio, helping them to implement our solution.
Wonderful. So let's dive in our topic. I would like to start our conversation by introducing our audience to the terminology of today's chart. So can you please explain what process mining is and describe some real-world examples of how process mining has been used to identify and address efficiency in business processes?
Sure. So process mining, as some of you may be aware, is a technique that uses event logs in order to analyze a business process. So it involves analyzing data from various systems in order to gain, you might say, insights into how a process works, what variations exist, and then companies can use that information in order to make modifications or optimize their process to identify where bottlenecks or inefficiencies might exist. Now, most mining and a lot of organizations generally starts with order to cash or procure to pay, you know, something like that. But a few other real world examples of process mining you might think about might be with the healthcare industry. Hospitals might use process mining in order to analyze their patient admission or discharge processes and then identify where inefficiencies exist. For example, they might see that patients are spending too much time in the emergency room before being admitted. And they use that information in order to optimize their triage process or reduce wait times and improve patient outcomes. Another example might be in the area of logistics, where a company might use process mining to analyze their order fulfillment process and see where bottlenecks exist. Again, for instance, they might identify that certain products are taking longer to be shipped, you know, than others because of either inefficient packaging processes or the vendors that might be used. And then they use that information in order to make adjustments to their packaging and shipping procedures in order to reduce fulfillment times or improve customer satisfaction. So overall, process mining itself can be a powerful tool used in a variety of different industries to help optimize process, reduce cost, or improve efficiency. It also allows companies to potentially gain a competitive edge as they enhance their overall performance.
Great. Sounds like a really useful tool to audit the existing processes and make decisions about their optimization. The next term that we would like to clarify is, what is a digital process twin? Is it something new, or is it new way to call process modeling? Like, for example, we in past had a couple of solutions for supply chain modeling. And how does a business process replica help enterprises with their digital transformation?
Right. Well, a digital process twin, as its name might imply, is a digital replica basically of your actual physical process or the system. And by having this digital replica, this twin, we can then use that information to simulate and monitor and optimize the process's performance. This is achieved, as we mentioned before, talking about data analytics. So you might pull information from a system. We might use machine learning algorithms, or we might even use real-time or historical data in order to create this digital replica. It's not necessarily a new term per se. It's been around for a while, but yeah, it's a large part of an organization's digital transformation journey. A lot of folks are working on those right now. So in a sense, a digital process twin, you might say, is an evolution of process mining, because it goes beyond simply modeling a process and provides us with the ability to simulate and optimize its performance. So basically, an organization can use the digital twin in order to test proposed changes or even maybe stress test what might happen with their process if things go beyond what they're expecting. And they can do this in a safe and controlled environment before they implement those changes in the real world.
Wonderful. So basically, we can test new processes or existing processes without losing in costs and revenue, because we don't need directly to try this process, but we can just use digital twin of this. Okay.
That's correct. Because a lot of times things sound really good on paper, but not so much when you implement them. So a digital twin gives us the ability to sort of test that hypothesis before we go about implementing it.
Simulate the process without even implement it. Yes. Well, let's discuss tools, solutions that can be used for modeling business processes with digital twins. One of the leading platforms, as far as we know, is Signavio. How can it help organizations to build their digital process twins?
Well, Signavio is one of the leading platforms for modeling business processes. Its cloud-based solution provides a suite of tools for process modeling, analysis, and optimization. The platform provides a range of different functionality and features to support a digital process twin. Those might include, obviously process modeling in and of itself. Signavio being cloud-based provides a nice visual modeling environment that allows users to create their process maps and diagrams that actually represent how their businesses work. Two, it goes into the simulation that we talked about before. So it provides us the ability to do some what-if analysis with regards to our overall process and see what would happen if we were to make a change. And we can do this using historical data to help us make accurate predictions about how a process might perform in the future. Signavio with process insights and with process mining also provides us with analytics, giving us the ability to extract data log information and get real-time information about where gaps or issues might exist in the process, and even get suggestions about how to address those particular issues as well. So analytics also comes with SAP Signavio. And then most importantly, Signavio provides collaboration, because while I might take and draw something really nice and pretty on this piece of paper, if I then just put it on a shelf where it's going to collect dust and no one can find it, it doesn't really help me a whole lot. So collaboration helps us to break down those silo walls and helps us collaborate across the organization to be able to work in real time. So not only can we share our process models, but we can also share our key performance indicators so we can see exactly how those processes are performing and look at ways to adjust them and make real time decisions.
It's very beneficial, seems, for the customers and enterprises to have this digital replica, because first of all, it's like a history of how the process change in the timeline. And secondly, this opportunity to have what if and evaluate different options, it definitely will help to understand which one is the best and how we can improve the process. And the additional functionality that you added here is collaboration, which Signavio provides. It's seems to me also very useful for enterprises, because sometimes different departments, they have clear picture on how their own processes works, but on the level of enterprises and how they communicate with each other within the different departments, sometimes it's hard to understand. But having such tool in place, it provides a clear picture on how the processes works and can work, right?
That's exactly right. I can think of several organizations that I've worked in where I have my particular process, but I have dependencies on other processes, right? So somebody's going to feed me information that I'm going to need for my process. And when I get done, I'm going to hand it off to someone else. And when I don't have collaboration or the ability to see what we all do, I can't really see the end to end. I just know I get information and I process it. And what ends up happening is at some point, I want to make a change to my process. But I'm not really involving you in the conversation because I don't see that end-to-end relationship, right? And so I make this adjustment, and now you're negatively impacted by my change. It's not something I obviously did on purpose. It wasn't malicious or anything like that. I just didn't know. And so again, Signavio helps us to really sort of see the relationship between processes that are not only coming in to us, but processes that might be affected after us as well as system information as well. You might think about being able to, from an IT change management perspective, I'm going to bring this database down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, what are all the processes or roles or groups that use that particular database? Who's going to be affected by that? So again, Signavio provides us with that capability as well to have that visibility, not just within the business, but even in the IT infrastructure as to how systems are being used.
Yes, it's great that we bring here even practical example on where and how we can use Signavio as enterprises. And for business leaders, for our audience that who consider right now maybe to start to use Signavio or understand how they can use in their landscape digital twins, what key factors they should be actively thinking about to embed digital twins in their organizations?
All right. Well, there's a few. First would be their own business objectives. So as a business leader, I need to have really a clear understanding of what my organizational goals are, and then understand how a digital twin can help me achieve those goals. So I really need to be able to identify my business processes that are going to be able to benefit from that digital twin technology, and then prioritize those for their implementation. So business objectives, what are your goals and how can a twin help with that? Another thing to think to consider would be data management. Digital twins, the simulation information, process mining, process insights, these require data and in some cases a vast amount of data in order to function effectively. So it's imperative that an organization have the necessary infrastructure and processes in place in order to collect, store, and manage that data, or even have access to it in a lot of cases. So this is going to include having the right data governance policies, the right data security measures, as well as the right data analytic tools. The third thing, since we've talked about data here for a moment, obviously talking about storing that data, we're going to need to have a technology infrastructure in order to support it. So a digital twin is going to require, obviously, technology in some sort of infrastructure. This might include cloud computing, with Signavio, for example, being a cloud-based application. It might get into process mining. It might get into artificial intelligence. There's a variety of different things, but do we have the technology within our organization in order to be able to support that particular move? Well, if we've got data and we've got technology, then we also need to now think about the people, right? So, do we have the right talent in place? So, developing and implementing a digital twin is going to require that I have a skilled workforce, someone that's going to have the expertise in an area such as data analytics or machine learning, like we talked about. They might even need experience in software engineering if we're starting to build out applications. So business leaders need to ensure that they have the right talent in place, or at least develop a plan to upskill their existing workforce. Another one would probably be one that's most often overlooked, and that's change management. Implementing a digital twin can bring significant changes within an organization, to their operations, to their processes, and in some cases, even their culture. So a business leader is going to need to be able to develop a nice and an effective change management plan, that's going to help them to address and manage that change effectively. And that's going to include how to communicate the benefits of where we're going with this digital twin technology. And then one that a lot of business leaders like to focus on, which really gets a little bit harder to quantify, is return on investment. That's almost a question you always get asked. Well, what's my return on investment? What's my return on investment? And being a consultant, I already know that the answer absolutely everyone hates is, well, it depends. Right. So the, so, but return on investment analysis is still going to be important because with any technology that we're going to be implementing, obviously there's costs that are going to come with that. So as a business leader, I'm going to need to assess the potential, I guess you might say, for return on investment of implementing this technology. Do a cost benefit analysis, but don't think of it necessarily in terms of how long before I get my money back, on this, before I start to break even. Because depending upon what our business objectives happen to be with regards to implementing a digital twin, the return on investment might be measured in terms of increased productivity, not just cost savings, right? It also might be measured in terms of my enhanced decision-making capabilities that are coming along with it. So don't necessarily think of return on investment as a dollar and cents type, type question that I'm asking. There are other factors that could come into play. But I think that's six reasons. I think that's probably good enough. But business leaders are going to that they're going to need to sort of consider those factors in order to define a strategy for implementing a digital twin within their organization.
I would agree. You covered here a very important key factors for to consider for business leaders. And I would like to underline upskilling because this is something which we are doing here right now as well. We are trying to educate to help our audience to understand different topics and how different technologies can be applied to their business processes to make them more efficient. And additionally, in the description to this podcast, we will share also some useful blog post links provided by Robert. So that we'll have specific references to additional information about digital twins and use cases, how they can be applicable in enterprises. And about return on investment, I would also like to add here that it's important to choose the right vendor for implementation of different technologies and consultants who can also in advance share the possible risks and how they can mitigate these risks. And it definitely can be and cannot, as you said, depends, but we should consider not only the costs and benefits, but also benefits, as you mentioned. All right, so could you please share some use cases where digital process twins in combination with AI or what if simulations that what was mentioned before brought benefits to enterprises?
Sure. Some use cases for digital twins. You want it with what if with some simulation, maybe with some AI stuff. All right. Well, let's think along the lines. I guess we've already talked about process optimization. So let's just sort of start there, right? So with process optimization, that's certainly a benefit by having a digital twin, as we already talked about. A business can now run a what if simulation. They can test different scenarios, I guess, against that particular process, the way they happen to have it documented, and then identify what inefficiencies might exist. They can then make adjustments, optimize that process in order to improve its performance. And again, being able to do so in a safe environment, as we talked about before. Another might be with regards to simulation, might be resource allocation. So by creating a digital twin of our operations, of our individual processes, I can now use a simulation, or I might even use an AI algorithm as we advance into that, in order to analyze different data points, right? And in some cases, again, using AI, we might do that in real time. But by having our resource allocation, by having our processes model, companies can now look at how our resources are being allocated. Do we need to make adjustments in staff? Do we need to purchase that new piece of equipment? Is it even going to be beneficial to the process in order to do it? How does this affect inventory or inventory control? How do we reduce waste? Right. So we start thinking about those types of terms with regards to resource allocation as well. Another example might be risk management. By having a digital twin of our process, and again running a what if simulation against this, now we can see what potential risks or scenarios might come into play. And we can start to develop a risk management strategy or plan in order to prepare for those particular events. And then he mentioned AI as well, so we might as well throw one in, I guess, for that, where you start to get into predictive maintenance, right? So as we've got our processes sort of defined using real-time data, right, and to analyze our processes, to analyze our equipment, to be able to look at how equipment is currently performing, and then being able to predict potentially when an equipment failure might happen, and therefore be able to schedule maintenance proactively in order to be able to reduce downtime. So a variety of different ways that we might think about using simulation. And in some cases, as we start to advance into this digital space, using artificial intelligence as well.
Sounds very beneficial for different processes, and you cover different business areas, which will be interesting for different types of audience of our podcast. So we discussed the current state of digital twins, process mining, and different use cases for enterprises. Now let's talk about the future. How do you see the future of digital process twins?
the future. Ooh. Well, there's no doubt, obviously, the use of a digital twin is going to continue to grow and evolve, right? I think we're only sort of scratching the surface with what we've seen so far. And as more companies start to embrace digital transformation, I think they're going to start seeking ways to leverage this new technology in order to optimize their business processes, increase efficiency, and even reduce cost. One potential development, we talked about data before, but data security is really sort of a big thing now. A lot of folks are thinking about their personal data. We've even seen a lot of laws get passed with regards to it. And in EMEA, you guys have GDPR focused specifically on that. So one potential development with having a digital twin is some sort of integration, maybe with blockchain technology, to provide a more secure way of transporting and storing and sharing data across our platforms. Another potential development that I think we're already starting to see, you mentioned earlier with all of our smartwatches and devices and things that we have, is in the area of healthcare. So where we might be able to create virtual replicas of ourselves. I think you sort of alluded to this a little bit earlier. This can help to improve treatment and diagnostics. We've already seen where people are starting to use DNA, right, to start looking at their genetics in order to help their doctor understand what type of ailments they might be predisposed to, you know, sort of catching because of something in their family history that maybe they weren't even aware of. So this could lead to more personalized healthcare and obviously better outcomes for us as patients. So I think the integration with digital twins, another example might be, and we're already starting to see this too, augmented and virtual reality starting to sort of sneak its way into things. By having a digital twin of a particular process, this can allow an organization to create a bit of an immersive, you know, type of experience for folks to walk through a process. We might look at real-time world scenarios and see how we might handle those. This can provide a nice, effective way to maybe train employees on new processes or even test potential processes that we might have, that we might be thinking about. So I think there's a lot of room for growth there. I really think we're just scratching the surface. But, you know, overall, I think the future of process twins is promising. I think we can only expect to see further advancements as the technology continues to evolve.
Right. It's fascinating me to imagine the future. I think I read the article maybe from McKinsey, and they talked even about metaverse of enterprises. Mm-hmm. Like once we build all the digital process twins, and we can have like whole history of processes in enterprises, which could be very, very beneficial, I guess, as well. So let's see what will happen in the future. Robert, I would like to thank you so much for this insightful conversation and being with us today. As always, we are just one click away. Please contact us at Clarity Show. Thank you for listening and see you in the next episode. And don't forget to subscribe just to make sure you don't miss them. Thank you.